Pastor John mentioned this morning, we don't have a theme because we're just coming off the back of our conference, which was incredible. Loved our conference. Great speakers, and there were a lot of prophetic words that were shared during that time, and lots of wisdom, all sorts of things. Brilliant worship, so many great things. So it was about just coming off, and I just felt God speaking to me about that there were a lot of prophetic words over that time. And like tonight, I'm going to speak about how to actually fight with your words. I'm going to talk about fighting actually first. Talking about the Olympics, there's only a few things that I like to watch on the Olympics, and that's the beach volleyball, like that. That's also the 100-meter sprint, love that, because it's so fast. It's like it's over in what, a couple of seconds, a few seconds, but it's great. You know, it's like all those, their legs are pumping and their hearts are pumping and everything's pumping, and then boom, it's over, and it's like amazing. Anyway, and the other thing that I like to watch is the fighting. Not the boxing. I'm not talking about the boxing. I'm talking about martial arts. I love to watch the martial arts. I used to do martial arts a long time ago. I was a black belt. I'm still a black belt at heart. Yeah, but that's why I like watching it, because I love fighting, because it's strategic. No, that came out wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I love watching fighting. Yeah, I do, because it's very strategic, especially when it's in a ring. And these people have been training, some of them, most of their lives to be in there. Just like any other sport, they've been training. And it's strategy and technique that I love about fighting. When I used to train 4 nights a week, not for the Olympics, believe me. It was just at the local, Taekwondo club. But 4 nights a week, I would train. And what I loved about it was the discipline and the strategy, and there's definitely technique. And so the better technique you have, the better you will go. It's just that simple. It's not just about, you don't have to be big. I mean, I'm not big. I used to fight people that were 6 foot tall. So it's not about size. It's about technique and strategy that actually will help you to win, which I like. And I loved it, but what I didn't like doing at first was going into a competition, because it's hard. There's a lot of pressure. You've got this mouth guard and all this gear on so that when you get hit in the head, you don't lose your head or anything like that. You've got all this gear on, but I used to get fearful about going in there. I'd just be so nervous. I'd be nearly gagging on my mouth guard. But what happened, I had to do it, because I wasn't allowed to go up a level in grading unless I'd been in a competition. My instructor would say to me, I don't want to go. You know, I was really good at my patterns and all that sort of stuff. And I like sparring with other people in my club, not a problem. But when you're actually in a ring, it's a different thing. It's for real. They're out to kill you. They want your head, because you get more points for kicking in the head, the punching in the head, anything in the head, more points. So fortunately, I was very good at kicking people in the head. But it was a strategy. I worked at my strategy, and I had a technique that I became very good at. Like, I'd do a dummy up the front first, and then they'd just turn around and boom, right in the side of the head. And it worked like every time. Or you go in to give a kick and then boom, in the back of the head. But I'm saying this all just so that you know, it's not about your size. It's about your strategy and it's about your technique that helps you win. So I am going to talk about how we fight with our prophetic words. And that's about by using strategy and technique. Okay. All right, so 19 years ago, I gave my heart to Jesus like 21 years ago. So 2 years old Christian, a two-year-old. And we had a lady come. She was a prophet from the UK. I went up on the altar here for prayer, to get a spirit of prayer, to get a passion to pray. I went up, and then she prayed. She come past, and then she just goes, "Do you preach?" I'm like, "No." you know, 2 years of being a Christian. I'm like, no. And she goes, you will. Like, she says, you will. She said, God has anointed you to preach his word. Now, at that time, two-year-old Christian, I'm like, boy, this lady, she's missed it. Loser. But, you know, this is how I used to think back then. I was thinking, like, she's crazy. There is no way that's happening. That's never going to happen. That was in 2005. I could not see that happening. And in between 2005 and 2010, I had 10 more prophecies from prophets from not even in the church I was going to about preaching. I mean, you know, it was pretty thick, like God was just trying to get through. But what happened in that time? Like nothing. Nothing happened. And the reason being, I actually had to repent to God and ask him to forgive me for not taking his word seriously. Do you know when someone prophesies over you, it's an invitation from heaven. It is not something to be, oh, that was so nice, that tickled my ears, that was so great, and then you just, oh, that was awesome, and then you forget about it. I didn't understand that at the time. That's why all those words, 5 years, I'd done nothing about it myself. I had this thought that, oh, well, if God, you know, this is what I thought. If God said it, he's going to do it. Exactly. You can laugh about that because it just doesn't work like that. Just because you receive a prophetic word, it does not mean it's a done deal. We need to partner with our words. We need to partner with God because we need to do that. So the first time I did actually preach, well, you know, that's a, you get that already, but on the in November 2011, and that was because of a strategy that I received, which I'm going to share with you tonight. It has to do with not just taking the words and forgetting about it, but actually going to fight with that word about who God sees you as. Because that's what a prophetic word is. It's how God sees you. It might not be how you feel or what you know, or you don't think you could do it, or, well, I can't believe they said that. I mean, I remember even last week, Kai, Pastor John prophesied over you about preach, preach, preach. So this is about what you do with that word. Okay. You might be here tonight and you don't have a relationship with God. I'm going to give you an opportunity to have a relationship with him a little bit later. But I just want you to know, if you don't have a relationship with God, I do have a prophetic word for you, and that is that he loves you. And he's always been thinking about you, and he's so glad that you're here. And it's not an accident that you're here tonight. So hold that thought. So prophecy, it's God's heart shared with his people through his people. Prophecy is one of the gifts that God gives us so that we can bless others. So who has had a prophetic word before? Might have been many, many people. Great, that's excellent. So who has had a prophetic word and it hasn't happened yet? Many, many people. That's great. Because this is what happens. Usually, the prophetic word, it calls out the greatness in people. It's what God believes about you. It's what he knows that you can do. It encourages you to move forward. So prophecy itself strengthens, encourages, and comforts. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, "But one who prophesies strengthens others, comforts, encourages others, and comforts them." So any prophetic word that you're receiving from each other should be that, one of those things, either strengthening, encouraging, or comforting. So in Acts 2:17, it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." When you have a relationship with God, we are all prophetic. We all have the ability to hear him. We all have the ability to hear his voice. We can hear him through reading the Bible. We can hear him when we pray. We can hear him through dreams and visions. We can hear him when we encounter him in different areas. Like we have encounter day in Alpha. When you have that, you will hear God either through someone or in there or while you're praying. Because when you put yourself in an presence in the atmosphere of God, which you're in now, you can hear him. I know he's actually probably speaking to some of you right now, either about the prophetic words you've had or just like, this is for you. Yeah. So that's what prophecy is. So prophecy has a process, and there's three steps in prophecy. There's the revelation, the interpretation, and the application. So the revelation is the prophetic word itself. It's received and it's reported. It's when it's spoken over someone, that's the revelation. It's the prophetic word itself. The interpretation is usually more often on the recipient, on the person who receives the word. That's because God speaks in your own language. A lot of the time when I have a prophetic word for someone, I don't have a clue what is going on. But God speaks to them in a way that they know. Like, I remember just seeing the picture of a kingfisher for a person. And I knew it was daughter of the living God, and she's called to be a fisher of men. But then she showed me. I didn't know what a kingfisher looked like. But God was speaking to her because she had a tattoo of a kingfisher on her back. Do you see? God speaks in your own language. That's why a lot of the time when someone says a prophetic word, you will actually feel something going on the inside of you. Or it'll speak words that you know. One of the words that I've had many prophetic words, but a lot of the time in my prophetic words, it will start with, you know, you are the apple of God's eye. This has happened many times in prophetic words, and I just know that's God. It doesn't mean that the others aren't, but it's like a little thing. He speaks in my language. I got a revelation of that word out of the Bible, and that's how he speaks to me. So when you hear it, he'll speak in the language you know. All right. So the thing about it, though, we need to test and weigh every prophetic word. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 to 21, it says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. And in 1 Corinthians 14, 29, it says, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. So we test all things. We prove all things. We go away and we pray about it if we've received a word. And we hold fast to what is good. Sometimes we'll receive prophecy and, you know, there are parts of it like, think, wow, we know that. It's just like when you eat fish, you know, you eat all the meat, but you spit the bones out. It's just like that. Sometimes you'll receive a word. It's because when we prophesy, we prophesy in part. It says that in the Bible. So sometimes it doesn't mean that the whole prophecy is inaccurate. It might be just parts of it. So you hold fast to what is good, get rid of what isn't. All right? So you weigh it up. So these are some questions that I ask when I'm weighing up a prophecy. Okay, is it consistent with God's character and his word? If someone prophesied over me that I'm going to, you know, steal something, I know it's a ridiculous example, but I know that that's not God because it's not part of his character. And in the word of God, it says, do not steal. So that would not line up with God. So you need to think, does that line up with God? Does it resonate with me? How I talked about, sometimes even if you think you can't do something right now, it doesn't mean that it's for now, but it's sometimes God will give you a word to, and it's for later. So, you know, does it resonate with me? The third question I ask is, how do your family, friends, and leaders who love me feel about this, especially if it's directional? So I'm talking mainly about directional words. If it's just strengthening, encouraging, and comforting, it's fine. This is just when it's very directional and you think, oh, you know, what are your friends, family, what are your leaders who love you think about this word? Okay, because I've had words like to leave my job. I've had different words. You think, whoa, do I just go ahead and do it? No, you need to test and weigh the word. So the next thing is, do I trust the source? So not the tomato sauce, like the who it comes from, right? Yeah, who it comes from. Do I trust the source? Who are they? Do they have anything to gain? What's their track record? And who are they accountable to? I don't want to have a prophecy from anyone who's out there just like winging it. Like, no way. So should you receive a prophetic word from anywhere? You're not obliged to accept any prophetic word. It's up to you whether you accept it. But test and weigh. And then the last question I think about is, does it draw me closer to Jesus? A prophetic word should always lead to Jesus. Always. So in this, avoid back room or car park or dark room or private or just prophecies. When I say that to mean, and it's mainly, I'm talking again about prophecies that are directional, prophecies that affect you. If someone gave me a prophecy in the car park, it's okay. Like, people have given me prophecies in the car park. They're fine. I'm not talking about that. But a directional one, I would probably weigh it with 5%. It would have 5% weighing for me, like, you know, a 5% accuracy thing. That's how I would think of it, because I think, don't know about that. But I would pray about it, and if it really bugged me and messed me up, though, I would seek counsel from a spiritual leader. If you've had prophetic words before and you've thought, and you've tried to get past it or whatever, but it's still messing you up, you need to speak to someone about it, your group leader or a pastor, you know, like, just speak to someone about it. It's okay, and we can pray with you. We can pray with you. Don't let something that's meant to be heavenly and sending you in a godly direction mess you up. So make sure that prophecy is in the light. It shouldn't just be one-on-one when it's directional. Never. I would not take any notice of that without a leader present. That's why when you had prophecies over the weekend, and any time there's prophecies, they're recorded. There's a reason for that. It's in public and they're recorded, because we want it to be in the light. Yeah, we want it to be in the light, yeah. So I've had prophetic words about selling my house, moving location, moving countries. Like, really, in the car park ones, like, people go, I just saw a picture of you. I was visiting a church because it was somebody's baptism. I just saw a picture of you in this church. I've had prophet. So this is what I mean by when it's directional, you really need to actually pray about it and seek spiritual guidance if you need it. So there's for example, like, one thing, though, just do nothing differently unless you're definitely directed. So when it's about transitions, marriages, dates, moving, global geographical moves, changing churches, changing employment, don't do anything hasty until you pray and get counsel from spiritual leadership. So there's three things you can do with a prophecy. The first one is you can bin it. You can get rid of it. Like, some people say they flush it. You can flush it. You can do whatever you want, but get rid of it. If it's not for you and it's not God, you can get rid of it. The second thing is you can shelf it. And then that's the prophecy where you think, I can't see that, like, right now. Well, I'm not sure about that. Maybe I'll just shelf it for now, because it might actually come up later on. And the third thing is you can actively go after it. So that's what I'm going to be talking about, actively going after your prophecies. So what do you do once it's weighed and tested and you're like, right, that's a word from God for me, like, even though I'm not there yet? Because prophecy is a call to action. A prophetic word is a call to action. There's a reason for it. It's not just like it isn't just a fluffy thing. Like, a lot of time, it is about doing something. So the Apostle Paul, he wrote in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 to 15, he said, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress." So that's what we're going to be talking about. When you get a prophetic word, the number one thing you do is record it. So it should be recorded. If you've had one here, as I said, they are recorded. And if you remember the date and what service it was at, someone could actually find it for you. But a lot of people will record it for you while you're in here. But you want it recorded. And the reason I want it recorded is because sometimes I'll hear the first line and I just don't hear anything else. Or sometimes you think you heard something, but you didn't. Yeah, had that happened as well. That's why it's great to record it. And I transcribe all of my prophecies. I write them down, or you can do it on transcribe on, you know, on Word. You can do transpose, I think it's called. You can just like put it on and it just types it out itself. You can go and do that. But I do do it, and there's a reason why, and I'm going to talk about why later. So pray into your word, because when you actually listen to a prophetic word and you pray about it, a lot of time you can ask God for further insight. Like, God, like, what do you mean here? What are you saying here? What do you do? Or even you can get counsel on it, or you can get further revelation, because we want to partner with the word that God has given us. So, you know, prophecies that I received 17 years ago, I'm living in now. This is why it's important to know. If I didn't write them down 17 years ago, I wouldn't know. You know, I wouldn't know. But it's because I've actually worked through them that they're coming to pass. So, but in that time, in between them coming to pass, God was making me the person who could carry the promise. He, you know, that's what he does. He prepares us along the way for what he's actually spoken over us. So what can we do? In 1 Timothy 1:18 to 19, it says, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith." So this is a command, something that I've entrusted you with. God entrusts us with prophetic words so that we will fight the good fight. We will fight with our prophetic words. We will fight with our prophecies that we've previously had. We will fight with them. So fight the good fight. So it's taking your prophetic words and approaching it like a military operation with a formulated strategy. That's what I love about fighting. Just like I said, I love that it's strategic. I love that there's a technique. And I love that if you do the strategy and the technique, it will work. I've done this, so I know it is. I actually got this from Dan McCullum. He wrote a book called The Good Fight. And it's about fighting with your prophetic words. So fight with your prophetic words. Actively go after it. So the first thing... Because the prophetic addresses our potential, it's not necessarily where we are right now. So major shift starts, it happens on the inside. Major shift, that's why a prophetic word is so powerful. You can feel something going on in here, even though you don't know. It's the seed being planted for that word to come to fruition. So the first thing I do is I write I am statements from my prophetic words. I look for things that speak of my identity. So you look for things that speak of your identity and you write them down. Like Gideon, you might have heard of Gideon in Judges. He was hiding in a wine press from the enemy, the Midianites. And in Judges 6:12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." That's a prophetic word for Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. That's his, part of his identity. He's calling him a mighty warrior. Now, at this time, Gideon, he was not a mighty warrior. He was hiding in the wine press, away from the enemies. But Gideon was chosen to deliver Israel from the oppression of the Midianites. He was chosen, but he's like, what? And this is what he says. And in Judges 6:15, he says, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. He speaks really good, doesn't he? But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. That is what Gideon thinks of himself. That's what he thinks of his identity. But the thing is, God has said, "I am with you, mighty warrior." It was releasing how he is known in heaven. He's known as a mighty warrior. It's already been like he was purposed to be a mighty warrior and actually save Israel. So we usually only call someone a mighty warrior when they prove to be that they're already a mighty warrior. But do you know, in the kingdom of God, you win battles because God says you are a mighty warrior before you win anything. He doesn't care about your gold medals. He doesn't care about any medals. He's already called you That's why you look for specific things. So I've got specific things out of my prophecy. I mean, it's like a page long that I've got out of different ones, and it's like, I'm a woman of God. I'm God's mouthpiece. I'm an anointed preacher. I'm a leader. I'm an atmosphere changer. I'm an influencer. I'm a warrior with a warrior spirit. All those things have been spoken about my identity in prophetic words. So you're looking for that. You're looking for what is your identity in there. The second thing, so the first one is write I am statements. The second thing is pull out the promises from your prophetic words. Well, if it was preach, 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 or if it's like, oh, you're going to pastor people, whatever it is, or you're going to have a business, whatever it is, pull out the promises. You know, you're going to have a successful business. Pull the promises out of your actual prophecy. So I've, like one of my prophecies, it was in from Vicky Simpson on the 16th of May 2020. It says, God is sharpening you, a weapon. God is trusting you with increased spiritual authority. Your words will have increased authority. And yet, this is just little extracts. And then this is my favorite part of this. Like, what has taken you at times seemingly years to achieve is going to take months. Months, days. Days, hours. So what I've taken from that, like, I get my I ams, you know, I'm a weapon and I'm trusted by God. Out of that, just that, out of those lines. And then I'm thanking God. I thank you, God, for sharpening me, for trusting me with increased spiritual authority. Thank you for giving my words increased authority. Thank you for what has taken me seemingly years to achieve is going to take months now. Months is going to take days. Days is going to take hours. So I know that because I just keep saying that. So now I believe things are going to happen quickly. Things that it's going to take long. So it's about taking that, pulling the promises out. So first thing, write your I am statement. Second thing, pull out the promises and just write them down and get phrases that just like, whoa, set you on fire. And then the third thing is you think to yourself, what can I do? What can I do practically? What can I do? What can I do about increasing my spiritual authority while I increase my prayer life? Because to me, I thought, well, I can do that. I started reading books on spiritual authority. Well, but what can you do with your promises? If you've had a prophecy about being a leader, usually to be a leader, you've got to be a good follower first. So to be a good follower, you serve, like Riley was talking about earlier. We serve, or you might be doing apprenticing to be a leader, whatever that is. If you're called to be a pastor or a preacher, maybe it's going to Bible college. Maybe it's studying communication, whatever it is. But maybe God's promised that he'll cancel your debt. What can you do practically? Maybe it's getting a budget. Yeah. Maybe it's learning how to manage your finances. Maybe it's reading Pastor John's book. Yeah, The Financial Wheels of Blessing. And that's not just a promo. I love that book. I listened to Pastor John's when they were on CDs before, back in the day. Like four CDs. I listened to them more than 50 times each because I needed it to change my mindset, to make me generous, to help me to be generous, all those things. But you've got it to change something. What can you do practically? If it's about a business, who can you go and see that's got the same kind of business? What can you find out? So what do you do practically? So those are those three things. Write your I am statements, then pull out the promises of God. And then think, what can I do practically and do it? That's what happens when, you know, in one thing that I've realized, it wouldn't matter what the word is. I know that what is going to grow me in anything is my relationship with God. It is. So no matter what, I want to increase my relationship with God somehow, whether it's doing Alpha or getting on the discipleship pathway, Christian essentials, or going to Bible college, or whatever, being in a group like the girls down here and all that. Yeah. So whatever it is, because I want to grow in my relationship with God, because all those things will actually take me closer to what that prophetic word is. So those three things: write your statements, write your I am statements, pull out the promises, and think of what you can do practically. Let's just close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you're the King. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you proud of us, that you're pleased with us. Oh, that your thoughts about us are like the sands on the seashore. Lord, that you've placed words on the inside of us. I just thank you, Lord, that with the prophetic words that we've had in the past, Father, I pray that you would stir them up. Stir them up in Jesus' name. If we haven't got them recorded, let's see if we can. If we can remember certain phrases, let's write them down. Father, but help us renew them. Make them fresh. Make them new. Lord, help us to fight with our prophecies. Thank you, Lord, that they bring strength, that they bring comfort, and that they bring encouragement. But Lord, I thank you that we just won't disregard an invitation from heaven. That, Lord, we will RSVP to your invitation. So I thank you, Father, that even in this moment, you're speaking to us about what you've spoken before. Amen.